2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hi, guys. I'm Scott.
He's back! Woo! Everybody can stand listen again.
You're about the only one celebrating this right now.
Everybody can stand listen.
Sorry for the ratings drop that's about to happen.
So, I came home on, it was last Monday, when, you know, the first day you were gone. And
yeah.
So, I started out Monday with 8, don't turn off the radios. I know Scotty's not here, but we've got a really great show lined up for you. And I said, in the middle or end of that show, I said, Scott will be back with us tomorrow.
And we pretty much teased that you were going to be back every day.
So people tuned in Tuesday early. And I said, look, Scotty had something come up, but he'll be back tomorrow. So finally I come home and my mom and dad are like, what, so is he coming back or is he... Like, I'm just trying to keep people around.
I did get somebody tweeted at me. Did you guys say there was some bear attack or something?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what we were talking about. But there was something
about
bear.
I don't know if I really want to know what was said while I was
gone. I can't remember. What were we saying about the bear? Oh, we were comparing you to Anthony Hopkins on the movie The Edge. And we wanted you to come home and say, my friends died saving me. Like, I don't know. I can't remember. We were just talking about how we were worried that you got used to the tamed bears at Bear World.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
And that you would see the bears on Alaska and be like, oh, let's go feed them like we did the bears at Bear World.
Bear World, yeah.
And then the bear in Alaska will eat you.
Eat your arm right off.
Yeah, like, huh, look at this guy.
Because they're not medicated.
He's actually walking towards us.
Wow, that guy's actually awake.
He's got a Zag nut in his hand.
Zag.
What is that? Is that a nut roll? Oh, he's got a nut roll.
That looks delightful. Hey, Lloyd, can you put up a mic in here and then come in here? And I've got the presentation of souvenirs.
Yes. Lloyd, be good, too.
Like, just put up that mic and then just walk in here in the studio. because I'm very excited about this. A lot of time and effort went into this.
Well, I'm excited about the presentation of the souvenirs because I'm sure you came across many great yes. things in your travels in Alaska.
Well, the first thing is like I wanted because there's a little bit of a religious undertone to the gifts that we've been giving each other.
Yeah.
Because you got that one thing that was blessed.
Yeah.
And so I went into many different places and talked to many different people, and this was blessed by someone there. And yeah, they were very excited to bless it. And so you now have a totem pole.
Wow. Holy cow.
You really
cow.
Got that blessed?
Yes. Yep.
So the totem pole holds...
There's a story behind that one. A lot of people think that the totem poles are actually religious artifacts. They are not. They're used to tell stories. And that one is about a someone. Remember what was the movie that you like that had like the guy could only was an animal during the day and then his girlfriend was
Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk. That's kind of a Lady Hawk kind of situation there.
Oh my gosh. Well, that would explain the guy with the yellow nose sitting on the shoulders of an owl.
Yes. And that's it. All right, Lloyd, you ready for yours? A lot of time went into this one.
Well, I love this. Was this hand carved?
Yes, hand carved by someone there in Alaska. Lloyd, here you go.
Somebody there in Alaska, like as in an Alaskan native.
Now, Lloyd's actually does have a religious undertone to it, and this was also
you left the sale tag on it.
Oh damn.
Is that the one he gave you?
No, that was not a regifting.
No, mine was a little more real.
What? No, that's real?
This is plastic.
It's not plastic.
These aren't even real feathers. But hey, I love it. I
Jeez,
love it.
Man.
You're not going to believe what I just found on the bottom of my totem pole. I just turned my totem pole upside down and it said $16.99. Today's sale only $4.
Bob's Gifts.
Okay, it was $6.99.
Was it $9.99.
Was it from Bob's Gifts?
It was upside down. Yeah, from Bob's Gifts.
No,
I'm glad that you found a good sell day where somebody
would
bless.
I thought you would actually appreciate.
Oh, this is great.
Did he bless it for 50% off?
So Lloyd has a nice new dream catcher.
And I can promise you, this will not get left anywhere, get lost. This will go right in the old little office area.
I can't believe how cool that dream catcher is.
I might actually, I'm going to hang this up at my cubicle, actually.
It will bring you much good luck,
yeah.
Lloyd. Much
this
good luck.
This is awesome. Well, thank you, Scotty.
You are welcome.
Scotty.
I am so much more grateful than you were.
You've knocked it out
wait,
of the park.
Oh, wait, what? No.
You knocked it out of the park with my Lady Hawk totem pole. That you know that is actually an amazing movie. It's not Matthew Broderick's best, but it was an amazing movie.
Michelle Pfeiffer,
yeah,
and Rutger Hauer.
I wouldn't have known that guy. Is it Rutger Hauer was the lead at role?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about my totem pole, buddy. That's fantastic.
And they actually carve in the words Alaska, just so you know that not to confuse it with other regions that might create totem poles.
I could tell.
That's why that was there.
And I can tell that this was freshly hand-painted the day of purchase.
Wait, this says airport.
Yes.
What? Salt Lake City Airport? They actually
No, it's from Tongass Trading Triangle.
Triangle?
Let me see the bag.
Yes.
Tongass? Oh, Tongass, yeah. There you go. Oh, 50% off on all dream catchers. Not
50%. I thought you'd enjoy a good sale.
I do. You know I'm always up for a good sale. That's awesome.
All right.
What's the coolest thing you saw in Alaska? By the way, Scotty has been just going around the edges of Alaska for the last few days.
You know, did the cruise thing, so it was pretty commercial. It wasn't like, you know, getting a little boat and you find all the nooks and crannies. It was pretty... commercialized, but you know what? It was there was a lot of really cool things, man. Alaska. The one thing about going there is like you want to go back like immediately.
Oh yeah.
And plus, it's like 65 degrees on even like a sunny day. So it's like, all right, I can get used to this.
Yeah.
Juneau was awesome. Ketchikan, Where else did we end up going? A couple other places. The one place that I'm actually thinking, you know, when it's time to shut down the show and retire.
Yeah.
Victoria, Canada. I think I'm going to be a Canuck.
I don't know if they're taking any American candidates for.
You shut your mouth. You are not going to be a Canuck.
You aren't going to Canada.
You are not.
Hey. I don't know if you need Jenny. Don't read Jenny's tweet. That's not really important.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
What did she say? Lloyd, read it. How bad is it?
It will be a wonder if Scott is allowed back in Alaska after he asked some teenage kid in a gift shop to pray over those made-in-China souvenirs.
Did you ask some random teenager?
It's all right. Just say a little prayer.
Some Alaskan teenager.
Hey, Todd, just
probably
say
some kid from like Utah or something, too, because my brother went out there and worked in one of those shops. There's a lot of
transplants.
From,
I can't believe that you want to go to Canada. It makes sense after the NHL team you decided to hook your wagon to.
The Ottawa?
I can't remember. What was it? Who did Scotty hook his wagon to?
Oh, I thought he was Carolina.
No. That was you.
That was you.
You were Carolina.
That was me. That's you're stuck with Carolina forever.
I don't remember.
Who did Colorado bounce in the?
I think it was the.
Was it Ottawa?
I think it was Ottawa.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's my team.
Well, I hope they're close to wherever you're moving.
No, I think they're on the other side.
So you went into this town in Canada? Canada let you in.
Canada let me in. You have to fill out there's a little paperwork and a little app that you upload all your vaccination stuff. I did not talk to a girl at Taco Bell about how to get in. But
so you did it the right way. You did it the correct way.
There is no right way. Lloyd.
No, there's a right way.
No, there's a right way.
You fill out this little paperwork.
Some say having a Taco Bell worker
and
tell
fast
you,
food is not involved in the right way.
See, it's called ArriveCan, and this little app there, and you put in your little info and you show it, and then boom, you're right in. And the Canada says, "Welcome to our beautiful country. Come buy stuff."
I wish that the Taco Bell worker would have said something about that app. She opted not to. So I showed up at the border with nothing.
And then got held by armed Mounties for what, 2 hours?
For just over an hour. Hour and 20 minutes. Luckily, I didn't have my car searched, but they brought paperwork and said, turn around and tell the people back at the American border, you never came. I was like, all right.
And tell that girl at Taco Bell that we need to have a chat.
I wanted to go back and scream at her because she said all we needed was a star on our driver's license. And I showed you where the star is on mine. I've got a star.
I think that's
that doesn't
like
let you into Canada.
I say your donor.
I think it probably is something simple like that.
They probably wanted you to go up there and donate a kidney or something.
But I'm shocked that Canada was so welcoming to you.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, look, you got you and 1,600 of your other tourists that are ready to open up their wallet.
Oh, yeah. Of course they're going to let that in. Was the boat nice?
Boat was nice.
Buffet was nice.
Food was nice. Had a uncomfortable conversation with my friends at Soda this morning, but we'll get back on track. And,
how uncomfortable was it?
It's a little
good selection of booze?
No. I didn't even pay attention to any of that.
Oh.
Does that come with the purchase of the boat?
Although I did see, like, I was looking at the, I did look at the drink menu a little bit, and I saw a rusted nail.
Did?
And I'm like, oh, man, that's what Jake Scott likes.
Jake Scott's go-to. He said if it's not a rusted nail, he doesn't want it. I'm so glad that you made it back safe. Lloyd and I were a little bit worried with some of the wildlife that you may encounter, and I'm glad that everything was
a lot of eagles. Eagles are everywhere. I don't know what do we got around here a lot. Seagulls around here. I mean, they're everywhere.
Bald eagles?
Bald eagles, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe like a magpie.
Yeah, like a magpie. Like they're just like there's an eagle. There's an eagle. You get an eagle.
Yeah, they're not it's so much a predatory bird as they are
a scavenger.
Yeah. They like to find dead things and eat it. But they are beautiful and they're big. Did your lovely bride enjoy this trip?
I believe so, yes.
To Alaska?
We had a tremendous time.
Almost called you. We almost called you.
You know
on
what?
Friday.
It would have been very difficult because cell service was a nightmare.
I figured. But we were going to. We thought
if we got you in Europe in some
you would think
Red Sea in Europe, we could get you somewhere in
you would think
Alaska.
But yeah, I felt like I was off the grid
for a week. Yeah, Hans stopped it though. He's like, nah, let's not.
That didn't go very well for you guys last time.
I didn't want the same reception we got the time before.
Yeah.
There were mean words said to both.
Cannot hear that type of language.
And deserved, I might add.
I don't know. We just didn't realize the extent of the time change. That was our miscalculation.
When you call somebody on their anniversary at like 11 o'clock at night, like chances are the response isn't going to be great.
It was a time miscalculation. And Lloyd and I apologized, and just we felt like we were attacked. Just a bit more than needs be.
Oh, it was a full-on attack.
Yeah. But it was enough that when Lloyd was like, hey, let's call him, I was like, nah, nope, let's not. Last time it was hurtful.
Wow. It's like, whoa, that's the same word my three-year-old uses.
Huh. It's hurtful.
I don't think she said that.
But I got to tell you, seeing you kind of shim into a robe on the video call was just the best.
Shim into a robe.
Oh, hey, guys.
Scotty's in a robe.
What's happening?
I'm glad that she enjoyed it. And I'm glad that you had a good time.
Great time. Absolutely.
I'm glad to hear the food was good. So did they have like an all-you-can-eat, like a constant buffet?
Oh, yeah. Buffets for days. And then you're like, you know, it's 2 o'clock at night. And you're like, hey, I would like some cheese fries. Boom.
So it was more than an uncomfortable conversation.
It was a pretty uncomfortable conversation with Soda.
Soda's like, yeah.
They're like, okay, well, you get the mulligan for a week. Let's get you back on track.
Yeah, they'll get you back going.
No, we're...
It was a good week for you to go. It wasn't the crazy week that we had the week before you left.
Yeah, no Donovan Mitchell trade.
Yeah, no hiring a new Jazz head coach. No conference realignment breaking news. Like, we got all that in with you before you left. And then we just had some good, consistent stuff. Camps started.
I listened to your A-Rod interviews. Yeah. Those were good to hear from him.
A-Rod was fantastic and I thought brought a lot of insight in what's going on. So... yeah, we've just been kind of chopping away, but we talked to Blake Anderson yesterday.
Yeah, I listened to that as well.
Blake was fantastic and kind of gave us some thoughts on Logan Bonner. I saw coming out of this scrimmage that Logan Bonner's numbers were way down. I mean, he had like 7 passing attempts. So I asked Blake what they were doing with him. We got to revisit that, what Blake said about Logan Bonner.
Hey, Lloyd, did A-Rod come on the morning show with DJ and PK? I wasn't quite sure if that happened or not. Were they able to?
Okay. It took me a minute. I was like, wait. Oh, okay. I see. He did eventually.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, he did eventually.
Yeah.
Just needed to get somebody in town.
That text did come through. I got that one.
I know. I felt bad. I was like, oh.
No, don't feel bad. It was funny.
What happened?
Oh.
What I missed?
Behind the scenes stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing.
I'm just trying to make Lloyd laugh in there.
Okay.
There were some issues getting A-Rod on the air, but
The morning show,
Lloyd made it work. But hey, look, we got high school football coming up this week. We got college football starting for Utah State in I think 2 weeks from Saturday.
18 days.
We're ready to get this thing going.
Yeah.
And we're in the teens today. I'm completely out of loop on 1660. We're at 19 today.
19.
Any big surprises while I was gone?
No. Actually, I probably would have put
Calvin Tyler in the teens somewhere.
Yep. Numbers have been pretty close, but there's, you know, 5 spot wiggle room for most of the guys that have been announced. But I think everything's been pretty close. What's really interesting is we're about to get to some pretty big transfer names, and because everybody's got the list of who's on the list. And the transfer names are a little bit higher than I thought they'd be. So we've got that going down and been putting the film reviews together. You can check out the 1660 at kslsports.com. You can catch up with all that, but it's been going pretty well, Scotty.
Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. starting lineup brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors. I'm already out of a groove here. I'm sorry, Hans.
No, you're doing all right.
Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Some interesting news on the TV front, Hans.
So it sounds like the Big Ten sat down with ESPN and demanded the world.
Yeah.
And ESPN was like, what are you talking about? And they were like, we want everything. And they were like, what are you talking about?
You have Indiana and Rutgers.
Like, ESPN's looking at them like, hey, did you see the SEC deal? Like, you know that the SEC is still more powerful than you, right? And you saw that the SEC, I think it was $60 million less a year. I think they were $320 million a year or yeah. something like that in the deal they put together. And I know that deal was done, was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
Yeah, I want to say a little bit more than a year ago.
Yeah, something in there, something in that range. And ESPN said, no, we're not doing this $380 million a year for 7 year deal. And it sounds like the negotiations between the Big Ten and the SEC, or sorry, the Big Ten and ESPN, which have been in business since like 1985 or something like that. I think the Big Ten's been rocking on ESPN for since 1985 or 1983 yeah. or something.
I think it was 1982. Actually.
Is it 82?
Yeah, 40 years.
So you got to go way, way, way back in that Big Ten ESPN partnership, and it's over. And I think that means a lot of things. I think that that gives a lot of other teams and conferences opportunities to fill gaps that ESPN is absolutely going to have to fill. And I also think it kind of tells us where the Big Ten thinks they are. And the Big Ten, I'm sure, will get there with whatever they're doing with Fox, NBC, and CBS or whatever they're doing with some streamer. But this is, I think, really good news for the Pac-12, Scotty.
Could not be better news for the Pac-12, honestly. So here's ESPN that's got a lot of broadcast windows that they have to fill. And the one thing that hurt the Pac-12 and really strengthened the Big Ten is that they could now say, okay, whoever wants our broadcast rights, we have got games that we can play in every time zone. Because you've got games in New York with Rutgers all the way to the Pacific Coast with USC and UCLA. You need a broadcast window. We've got a team that can fill that for you. So if ESPN is able to get in on that contract, ESPN doesn't have as strong a need for those West Coast games because they've got USC and UCLA to fill that void.
Yeah.
Now, if you're the Pac-12 and you see ESPN bow out of this Big Ten conference, there's not another conference out there outside of the Mountain West that can deliver P5 Pacific Coast 8:30 games for that window outside of the Pac-12 mm-hmm. or the Pac-10 now or whatever, you know. And so that gives them a little bit of leverage, even though they don't have USC and they don't have UCLA. And certainly the number is never going to match what the number would be had those two schools stuck around. But they now have the leverage to go to ESPN and say, hey, look, you want 8:30 games? You want West Coast games? You're going to have to come to us. And so there's a little bit of leverage there. Now, not a lot, but a little bit. And I think if you're ESPN, you're more determined to make sure that Pac-12 holds together so that you can maintain an exclusivity on that West Coast.
And if ESPN wants you to hold together, they're going to do a lot of things to make sure that you're stable as a conference and can hold together. So it is one of the first indicators that I've had to point to the Pac-10 being able to stabilize a little bit. But I will tell you that I think that that's short-lived if the Big Ten says, hey, Washington, Oregon, or whatever combination.
Exactly.
I think that it's short-lived.
Yeah.
And the Big Ten could get a little bit bullish and pushy with ESPN and be like, hey, you know what we could do to get back at them? We'll take apart their conference.
Exactly.
Take apart their precious Pac-10 that they want to put some things together with.
And that's why I said a little bit of leverage, because this conference still feels like a house of cards that could come down at any given moment.
Well, until George Kliavkov gives me the notification that every 10 of the presidents remaining inside that conference has signed a grant of rights and essentially put a number on it that is impossible to get away from. Like a complete non-compete. We won't play football for 2 years if we leave this conference. You know, something that's undeniable, something that you can't get around. And these stupid contracts, it feels like anybody can get around these crazy grant of right contracts at any time. But put together something that shows me that stability that everybody has committed. Otherwise, I still think it's going to fall apart. I still think eventually within 2-3 years, it's going to come apart. The more teams will probably leave. I'm talking about the Pac-10. More teams will probably leave, even with ESPN possibly negotiating to get them that content that they need. I feel like this is a great move and a lot of positivity, but until I see the Pac-10 teams completely commit, I can't feel overly optimistic about this.
Yeah. 12:27, Hans and Scotty just getting started. It's a busy show for you on tap for today. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll continue to talk about the TV world in which the college football landscape continues to shift and change. But you're right, if the Big 12 or the Big 10 was like, okay, we need West Coast games, Oregon, Washington, come on over.
Yeah.
And they would pack their bags and be gone ASAP.
Unless you had something in writing.
Yep. And frankly, even if you were Utah, would you sign it?
No.
Why would
not
you?
A chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Unless I signed it and said, all right, now what I want from you is a guarantee of $65 million plus a year.
Yeah.
And if you break your guarantee, then our contract is null and void.
Yeah.
And we can go in. They need something in return to be able to show that type of commitment.
Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60.
3, 2, 1.
60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah.
60 and 60.
As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future.
On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo!
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
Chin, Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I already feel more blessed with my totem pole. I've had some good luck here in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I've got my dream catcher hanging from the mic here right now, so we're good.
It looks good.
I know.
Hey, what is the history? I know the history on a totem pole. What's the history on a dream catcher?
Well, when I was talking to the catching, man.
Catch good dreams for you.
Yeah, when I was talking to the man that blessed it. He said that that one in particular.
16-year-old kid with braces.
Kid from Tacoma, Washington.
According to Jim.
He's from Arkansas. Back off. No, they say that you put it above your bed while you sleep, and that all the good dreams just stay right in there, and then it also kicks out all the bad dreams.
Oh.
Yeah.
It voids the bad dreams.
Yep.
At least that's what the shaman told me.
All that netting and stuff like that just gobbles them right up.
Keep that high above the bed, Lloyd. Keep those bad dreams away.
Yep. You know what's interesting? Well, never mind. I got all these little Alaska-like little... I'm like Cliff Clavin of
I know,
Alaska
I love
right
it,
now.
Though. That's what I love about you taking trips to different areas.
So you
know,
picked
I
up
love
some
it.
History? You picked up some knowledge?
Did you know that that Russia just essentially said, no, we're not really interested. And you know what the asking price was for Alaska, the United States bought Alaska for?
No.
$7 million. $7.2 million.
United States bought. Little they know about the oil.
Bought all of Alaska and the gold, too.
Well, you know, you could see a Russia from there.
From my front porch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right from there where you're at on your ship.
So, come on. That's like the steal of the century right there. I did. We did see the governor's mansion, and I tried to see Alaska from that governor's mansion, and I couldn't quite see it. Didn't quite work out.
Wait a second. What about the governor's mansion?
That was a Sarah. Well, I don't think Sarah Palin actually ever said it.
No,
I think it was Tina Fey on Saturday
Tina
Night Live.
It was a joke. Oh, I was making it was fun a joke. Of it wasn't real.
I can see Russia from my front porch.
Yeah, it wasn't real. It was just a good skit.
Oh, man.
All right. So just kind of catching up on some stuff. So Kevin Durant wants to get a coach and a GM fired.
Yeah. Any surprise there?
No. I mean, honestly, there's like, I'm trying to think of a good comparison for that. You've seen players that every now and then, like LeBron will cycle through coaches all the time. Mm-hmm. But at least there's some level of winning. Like Tyronn Lue was part of a team that he coached, and I think they won a title that when they came back from the 1-3 deficit. Mm-hmm. But I think if you latch on to a team with LeBron, you know eventually it's not going to end well for you. Frank Vogel wins a title with him, and then 2 years later gets ousted.
Yeah.
Because LeBron wants a new face and wants a new voice, and that's okay. LeBron gets that. And I guess Kevin Durant could do the same as well, but what has Kevin Durant done to prove that he's worth the headache? Like, Kevin Durant is a phenomenal basketball player, but Kevin Durant doesn't have that. And you look, Twitter mob can get mad at me all you want, but LeBron James can put a team on his shoulders and go win a title. Like, I understand he went to Miami and he was with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and they won titles there. But what he did in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and the roster that he was going to NBA finals with and winning an NBA title with in Cleveland had no business even coming close to a title. But LeBron James put the team on the shoulders and did it.
And did it against a very good Golden State team.
Yes, did it against a record-setting, most wins in regular season history NBA team in the Golden State Warriors. Now, then Golden State goes out and gets Kevin Durant and wins titles, but that's Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. You look at what Kevin Durant – can Kevin Durant go to that kind of a roster that exists in Cleveland, and could he go win a title?
No.
Or take that team to an NBA title?
No.
I just don't know if Kevin Durant is enough. He's brilliant, yes.
But he's not LeBron James. In LeBron James' height, brilliant.
Exactly. And so my point is, like, what have you done to be able to deserve this, to earn the right to be able to get not just a coach fired, a GM hired or fired? And these are guys that have bent over backwards for every little thing that you want. And if I'm the owner, which if you read his tweet, hopefully he sticks to his guns and says, look, I have complete trust in my management and my coaching, and they're here to stay. Because that's a real toxic environment if Kevin Durant not only is getting a coach fired, but he's getting a GM fired too. And if I'm a team out there, I understand that Kevin Durant is really going to help you win a bunch of games. But if I'm a GM, am I pulling a trigger on a trade to bring in Kevin Durant when the guy could turn around in 2 months and want me fired?
So you go back to his time with Oklahoma City, and they were fantastic. That Oklahoma City team, I know that it kind of hit a wall and Oklahoma City was forced, and you had Ibaka that was leaving and Westbrook that was upset and Kevin Durant that was ready to move. And Oklahoma City maxed things out, and they made it, you know, what was it, 2 or 3 Western Conference Finals? That Oklahoma City team?
And they went to 1 NBA Finals.
And 1 NBA Finals?
Yeah.
Or was it 2? Was just 1?
I think it was just 1.
Just 1 NBA Finals? So you know that Oklahoma City team had some really incredible runs, and a lot of that was on the back of Kevin Durant. But there was incredible talent there. James Harden was your sixth man.
Yeah.
That was a really, really good, loaded with amazing talent, Oklahoma City team that didn't win a title. They didn't win a championship. And they had great, young, up-and-coming talent. I thought that Brooks and that staff, I thought that they had a really good staff at the time. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get it done. And you go to Golden State and you join forces with Steph Curry, and he's able to get, it was two titles then, right? Two titles with them?
Yeah.
In 17 and 18. So you're able to go get yourself two titles. But I think that that Golden State team probably wins one, if not both, without Kevin Durant. Would that be safe?
Yeah.
One, if not both.
I think that's a safe assumption to make.
One for sure.
Yeah. Because they were playing those Cleveland teams that were LeBron and a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah. But probably both. So Kevin Durant has not shown the ability to do it on his own. He showed up in Brooklyn in that 2021 season, and they were able to make it to the postseason. 2022 it was a sweep, was it not?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah.
In the first round?
Yep.
So to me, if it wasn't a sweep, it was something
pretty doggone close.
Something close to it. So to me, I'm looking at a Kevin Durant that's kind of past that prime and ability to try to dictate what I'm doing with my coaching staff and front office. And he changes his mind like he changes his underwear.
Yep. Bounced 0-4 to the Celtics first round.
And the Celtics aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And the East is getting better. So
absolutely.
So Brooklyn allowing Kevin Durant to completely reorganize the front office before he leaves and requests a trade is absurd. And if I'm Brooklyn, I'm not messing with that. In fact, I think in the NBA, Scotty, I don't know if there's a player right now. Maybe Steph Curry, but probably not even Steph. I don't know if and I'm talking about from a GM's, no, I'm talking about from an ownership point of view. I don't know if there's a player in the NBA right now, if I was an owner in the NBA, that could come to me and say, fire your GM, fire your head coach, and I'll stay. Because, and I get it, it's all about the talent, but I don't know if there's that singular talent. Maybe the freak? Maybe Giannis? But I don't even know if Giannis pulls that kind of stuff with me. I don't think I'd do it for Luka. I don't think I'd do it for Nicole. Nicola is amazing. I just don't know if he could push me to fire. Because a player's time on the court in his prime at that level, I've got him for 4 years, three, four, maybe five, if I can keep him happy. Three, four, maybe five. And I don't know how people feel about Steve Nash, but I know that this guy that's in the front office right now, he's the one that put this together with Irving and Durant and got Harden when he was available.
And trust me, those trades happen based on especially the, especially with the blessing of Kevin Durant. Like, I think they've done everything that Kevin Durant's wanted them to do.
Yeah.
And now you want the GM fired and you want the coach fired? No, sooner or later, you got to stop. Like, I get it. Star players run the league. I 100% understand that. And star players all the way back, and don't think this hasn't been going forever. Magic Johnson got a coach fired before they hired Pat Riley. Like, this has been going on forever. And there are certain players that probably earn the right to be able to do that. I don't like it, but there's a certain players that come in and say, look, it's either him or me. And the owner's like, well, shoot, I can't. I'm not going to get rid of you, so yeah, sorry.
In that moment.
But when you want to clear out an
there's
entire...
There's a window for some.
But when you want to clear out an entire front office, then that's where you draw the line. And you think to yourself, okay, no. No, you're not worth this headache. You're not worth... And it's Brooklyn, too. Brooklyn's not going to have a hard time finding free agents. They've got money. They've got an owner who's got big pocketbooks. Like, they'll be fine. They'll be able to attract all kinds of free agents there. And the price that you're going to be able to get for Kevin Durant, if I'm the owner, I'm like, no. Because if you do this, if you fire your front office and you fire your head coach, there's going to be a lot of other star players around the NBA that are going to want to do the same thing.
Well, the Brooklyn Nets owner backed his coach and his front office, which essentially is telling Kevin Durant, hey, shut your mouth, which I think is going to promote a trade. Is it not? Correct. Kevin Durant put the ultimatum down. He's like, fire them or it's me. It's like, well, we're not going to fire them. So it's probably Kevin, which I think and maybe I'm mistaken here, but I think that they'll probably have to move him.
Yes, they will.
So if Kevin Durant's back in the sweepstakes, because that was starting to settle, and I felt like that was settling the Donovan Mitchell news. Because Kevin Durant's name had been brought up in certain moves that may include or portions that may include. I felt like Kevin Durant's deal, whatever the trade was, could kind of reset the market for what to expect for Donovan Mitchell. Because Rudy Gobert set an expectation for Donovan Mitchell that feels like it's impossible to match. And I feel like New York's like, we can't hit that number.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of slowed things down with New York. And I felt like Kevin Durant being moved may reset expectations again for Donovan, where you could say, all right, now he wasn't on our team, but we see what Kevin Durant got, and that's more the expectation. We can be underneath Kevin Durant for a Donovan Mitchell trade.
Yeah.
Can't be underneath Rudy Gobert for a Donovan Mitchell trade. But that's the way I perceive it. Jake kind of went back and forth with me on that, and he felt like you can get less for a Donovan Mitchell trade than you can a Rudy Gobert trade. I felt like that would be a bad look. I felt like it would be looked at as a loss. But I guess you got to do what you got to do to make sure you're losing next year if you're the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
But it felt like it would be kind of a ugly look for me or to me if Donovan Mitchell was traded for less than Rudy Gobert.
I just don't know how you can go backwards.
I think the only way you could is if Kevin Durant got traded for a certain amount, and you could say, well, yeah, he got traded for this. So you can take that for Donovan. That's a good one for Donovan because Kevin Durant got this.
But if you're Brooklyn, you can't give up Kevin Durant for less than what the Jazz got for Rudy Gobert.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, even looking at that trade in comparison.
Yeah.
But maybe Kevin Durant being back on the market, maybe that kind of maybe spikes things a bit for the Donovan Mitchell trade, but because it's gone quiet, Scotty,
or
the time that you've been gone.
Or it may slow things down for the Donovan Mitchell thing, because as long as Kevin Durant's out there, and if there's teams out there that feel like they can get Kevin Durant, then they're not going to go after Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, they would certainly. Kevin Durant is still going to be the biggest draw and tipping point in the NBA.
Because it could be something as simple as what we saw with the Deron Williams trade back in, what was that, 2010, 2011, where Donovan Mitchell, or excuse me, where the Jazz were just sitting back and waiting to see what happened with Carmelo Anthony. We all knew he was either going to get traded to the Knicks or the Nets. And when he went to the Knicks, boom, Deron Williams got the deal to go to the Nets. Because they needed somebody, and once they lost out on Carmelo, boom, they went all in, and the Jazz were able to move Deron Williams. Same thing could happen here. Just wait for that Kevin Durant domino to fall. As soon as it does, there you go.
You know, you watch that movie, The Gladiator, and he gets the crowd on his side.
Yeah.
And then feels like he's got the power. Who's got the power with the crowd right now? Kevin Durant or ownership?
Ownership, always. Yeah. I think there's a lot of fans out there.
So if ownership was like, yeah, Kevin, shut your mouth and we're going to move you up because you just keep demanding and you're not delivering. Even though he's he was 30 points a game this last season.
Are you not entertained?
I think it was, 30 points a game. 29.9 points per game last year. So, do you think that the fan base, hearing what Kevin Durant said, it's me or them? Do you think the fan base is like, no, it's them? Or do you think the fan base is wanting Kevin Durant?
Thing is, KD has like played this game already a couple times.
Yeah.
I
don't think fans like being held hostage like that. And if Kevin Durant took that team to an NBA Finals, and even if they lost, or an Eastern Conference Finals, I think that might be different. But Kevin Durant is now aloof. I don't think he's done anything to earn the goodwill of the community. The results on the court haven't been there. I could see very easily them saying, no, we're not going to get bullied by this guy.
If Kevin Durant was here with the Jazz scoring 30 points a game, but was bumped in four games just this last year.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant
the
saying,
Jazz last year had a better playoff performance.
Yeah.
Than what the
Brooklyn.
Than what the Nets had.
They did. But I try to put it in terms of people here and, yep. and Jazz fans here. And I think Jazz fans are smarter than that. Because they would know Kevin Durant is a short-term guy. He's mm-hmm. So you fire everybody and change everything, he's probably gone in 2 years anyways.
Exactly.
Or at least the talent is going to start to evade him.
He's scratching your back with my totem pole. Yeah.
That's a good back scratcher.
Dude.
That was good. The beak on the eagle on the totem pole really gets in there deep. That is, it's nice.
I guess that's what I deserve for you seeing the salt price on it.
No, it's blessed. It's awesome. But
beak does.
Yeah, it gets right in there. See
yeah,
that?
I can see that. Yeah.
The beak on the eagle really gets in those deep, scratchy, itchy areas.
All right, hands of Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, it's another edition of What You May Have Missed right here on the Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
PK with A-Rod. Here's the Cougars' offensive coordinator.
As far as the talent level now, how much have you seen it increase in terms of guys that were originally recruited, whether they go on missions or just need a year or two to develop, that they're in the position now they can be productive players, and what has that done to the talent level?
We have more talent and more depth at every position than when I first arrived, and I can't speak to what went on before I got here, but I just know that this is a much deeper and better football team than we were my first year. And I expect that to continue to improve every year. There should not be any steps backwards from here on out as far as our depth and our talent level. If we do what we're supposed to do as coaches and recruiting and developing with these players, we should continue to play at a high level in the future.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Stop playing tobacco's game. Control your future. Get free nicotine patches and gum at waytoquit.org.
So you're seeing these free cane shirts everywhere, talking about Cain Velasquez, the former UFC heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Well, today in a court, he pleaded not guilty in attempted murder in Santa Clara, California. Right now, Scotty, his charges are attempted murder and 10 other gun-related charges stemming from that incident going back when he attempted to kill the man that molested his child. And I don't know what's going to end up happening in this case, but when he shot through the vehicle, he ended up hitting this man's stepfather when he shot. Because this man who molested his kid was in there with his stepfather. And when Cain shot, it hit this guy. Paul Bender is his stepfather's name. And so you've got all kinds of issues in this case. This is going to be one of the more difficult cases to prosecute.
I would not want to be a jury member on that. Because no. Your heart of hearts, you do not want to convict this man.
Not a chance. You want to let him go.
Yeah.
Because now we're getting more and more details, Scotty, in regards to what happened between this, I think that his child was 4 at the time.
Yeah.
And this 40-year-old man or however old this guy is. And it happened over 100 times. And the kid was strong enough to finally come forward and say what had happened. And now they're getting more details into possibly how many kids were hurt by this man. So all of us look at that and think, oh, well, Kane almost served well. If this man was in fact doing what he was doing, it was almost a good service to humanity. But when you include a man who's innocent being hit and where the shots were fired and what gun the bullets came from and all those types of things, this is just a difficult case. It's going to end up with Kane in prison. It's going to end up with him doing some serious
letter of
time.
The law. Like, if I'm a member of that jury and I see everything presented and you're thinking, if I were him, I would do the same thing, or I'd want to do the same thing.
Sure.
And I don't feel, but letter of the law, if it played out the way that it appears like it played out, you have to convict him, right?
Yeah, you got to. Sadly. And there's going to be a lot of people that go against that. And my intuition tells me, no, he was trying to protect his kid, and you and I do the same. We wouldn't do the same. Let's be honest. We wouldn't fire into a car where there were two individuals. There was the man that committed the crime against our kid and then another individual. I would be a little bit more calculated. If I had made the decision, I'm going to take the ultimate step to protect my kid and to avenge what happened. I'm going to take the ultimate step. I would have done it in a way that is much more directed at the individual that committed the crime. And I would try to leave other people out of risk of harm as much as I could if I was going to do it.
Yeah.
And if I'm Cain Velasquez, I'm waiting for an opportunity just to get my hands on the guy. I don't want a long distance shot at this guy.
Yeah.
And Cain Velasquez, Cain could, with his training, he could kill a guy inside 3 minutes.
Yeah. I mean,
with his bare hands.
Momentary insanity, maybe you could plead that, because maybe he's...
Then you have to prove when did you get the information and when did this occur. That's going to be really tough.
If I'm a lawyer, I try to paint the picture of he brought the gun to scare him. He had no intention to shoot. And then all of a sudden he lost his mind and shot. Because here's Cain Velasquez. Why would he need a gun? He could kill him with his bare hands if he really wanted to kill him. He's not going to do it with the gun. He's going to do it with his hands wrapped around his neck and breaking every bone in his body.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the picture you got to paint if you're the defense lawyer. But my goodness, if you really did want to kill him and you went to kill him, that's the route you probably should have taken.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So I don't know what ends up happening with the ultimate decision in this case, but it couldn't be a more difficult case to read about and follow and watch. I told you my nephew Mitchell fought over the weekend.
Oh.
And he won.
Yeah, attaboy.
Knockout in the first round. So it was awesome. But I was just at that venue and I probably saw, and I know it's the fighting world, but I probably saw 20 free Kane shirts. And I know that's the fighting world. But yeah. I think by and large, general public wants this guy to have a reduced sentence, at the very least, a very reduced sentence. And maybe you do take that into consideration if you're the judge. Because if I'm the judge sitting on this case, and I know it comes down to the jury, but if I'm on the judge who's going to be sentencing, I would try to be as lenient as I possibly could be.
Yeah. All right, 1 o'clock. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.